In the name of Jesus. He comes to judge the living and the dead. Judgment Day. It's not far off, you know. Nearer now than it was a week ago. Nearer now than when you first believed. How near? No one knows, and the Lord isn't telling. What will it be like on this day of judgment, this dreadfully wonderful day? On this second to the last Sunday of the church year, as we do the final countdown and then on to Advent, we hear the parable of the sheep and the goats. This is Jesus' last parable, his last word about last things, before he himself goes to die and rise. He looks ahead to his coming in glory, when he will appear in the clouds as the Son of Man in all of his glory with his angels surrounding him as he sits on his throne to judge the living and the dead. His coming at the end of the age, he says, will be like a shepherd and his flock. At the close of the day. All through the day, the sheep and the goats graze together as one flock, interchangeably, commingled under one shepherd. Only at the end of the day, as the sun is setting, are they separated one from the other in their respective pens. The shepherd stands at the door, and the goats go to the left and the sheep to the right. Judgment is a sorting and a separation. Notice that before the end, they are all together. You dare not sort or separate beforehand, no matter how tempted you might be to identify sheep or goats in this life. Don't try that. That's for the shepherd on the last day. And the basis for the shepherd's sorting is not what they did, but what they are, sheep and goats. Not good and bad, not religious and unreligious, but sheep and goats, what they are. And notice that the shepherd is the Lord of both of them. The sheep, Jesus later identifies as the righteous, the justified. Those who are declared righteous for Jesus' sake. The goats are those who refuse their justification, who reject the gift in favor of their own way of doing things and their own way of relating to the shepherd. But works cannot turn goats into sheep any more than works can make saints out of sinners. Only God can do that sort of thing. By grace, you are saved. And this through faith, this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not on account of works, lest anyone should boast. By his saving word, God calls the sinner a saint in Christ. The goat, he declares to be a sheep in the Lamb who suffered for the sins of the world. But I'm getting ahead just a bit, so let's back up. Only after they are sorted and separated is there any talk of works. Only after the goats go to the left and the sheep to the right is there any discussion of what they have done. Our works will be judged on that day, that's true. St. Paul says that in several places. Our works will be judged as gold is put through a refining fire. But here's the good news, we will not be judged by our works. Only by the work of Jesus, his perfect work, his perfect life, his perfect death. The sheep on the right are blessed by his Father, he says. They have an inheritance, a kingdom prepared for them before the foundations of the world. That is Christ talk. Christ is the one who was before the foundations of the world. Christ is the Word, the eternal Word at the Father's right hand. Christ is the one who was elect before all things, and in Him are found all of God's elect sheep. A deep mystery is revealed. Something that you would not have known unless God had revealed it to you. The shepherd king was hidden. Hidden all along in the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the one needing clothing and the sick one and the imprisoned one. Who would have known that? Who would have expected that? In fact, the sheep are astonished. They had no idea. They said, "When, Lord? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in need of clothing? When did we see you as a stranger or in prison or sick? When did we do these things for you?" They had no idea that what they were doing was for the king. And that's the way of a good work. You have no idea that you are doing it for the king. In fact, it is done before you even notice it. And it's done for no other reason than it needs to be done. Jesus lies incognito, hidden in your brother, your sister, your fellow baptized believer, the one who receives the same body and blood as you do. For as often as you have done it to the least of these, brothers of mine, you have done it to me. We don't normally look for God in the least, do we? We usually look to the greatest. We may look down on the least. We may look away from the least. But we hardly recognize them as an icon of Jesus. And we certainly don't want to see ourselves in that light, do we? Who among you wants to be regarded as least, as lost, as lowly, as dead? Certainly not old Adam. He wants to be greatest, number one, top dog, the king, a god even. He will have nothing to do with the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the imprisoned, the sick. They get what they deserve. He gets what he deserves. The least, the lost, the losers, let them find their own way through life, says old Adam. Jesus, quite intentionally, I believe, describes himself in his own crucified humility. He was hungry with your hunger. He was thirsty with your thirst. He was naked with your shame. He was imprisoned under the law. He was sick with your sin. He was all of these things, and it wasn't a pretty sight. No beauty was found in him that we should desire him, Isaiah said, of the suffering servant. Those are the sheep. They serve the king incognito. And they had no idea they were doing it. They just did it because it needed to be done. On the left are the goats. They have no inheritance to receive, but instead they receive a dismissal. Depart from me. They aren't blessed, but they're cursed. Not cursed by the Father, just simply cursed. They are dismissed to an eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. Please note that and underline that hell is not intended for people. People don't fit very well in hell. God didn't create hell for humanity, but for the fallen angels, for the devil and his demons. It is not God's will that anyone should end up there. God's will is that everyone would be saved and come to the saving knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the whole world. And so if anyone is cursed, if anybody winds up in that eternal fire with the devil and his demons, it will be entirely against God's will to save them in Jesus. The sin of the goats was a sin of omission. They did nothing. somewhere along the line, they must have learned that you don't got to do nothing. So nothing is what they did. They gave nothing to eat to the hungry. They gave nothing to drink to the thirsty. They gave nothing to wear to the naked. They gave nothing to the stranger. They gave nothing to the sick and the imprisoned. They did nothing because they did not recognize the King in the least and the lost of this world. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty or naked or a stranger or sick and imprisoned? And did not serve you. In other words, had we known it was you, we would have been first in line. We didn't know it was you. You should have told us. We would have been happy to volunteer if we knew it was you. And they hear this. They go away to eternal punishment, but the justified to eternal life. So which are you? Sheep, goat. At the end of the parable, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, at the end of the age, which are you? Are you a sheep of the Good Shepherd's flock, or are you a goat of the Good Shepherd's flock? Are you blessed by your Father with an eternal inheritance, or are you cursed by your own refusal to be justified, cursed to an eternal punishment in a fire that is not intended for you? Remember Luther, Simul Justus et Peccator, he said in Latin. They knew Latin back then. At the same time, justified and a sinner. Simultaneously saint and sinner. That's what we are. That's the mystery of our life under the word of law and gospel. Don't get tricked into either or thinking by this parable. Think both and in this life. Either or comes at the end, but not a moment sooner than that. If you look into the mirror of the law, you will see staring back at you the face of a goat. You will see all of your denials and all of your rejections of the least and the lost. You will see the unfed hungry, the unquenched thirsty, the unclothed naked, the unwelcomed stranger, the sick and the imprisoned you did not have the time or the energy to visit and comfort. If you look to the law for comfort in the day of God's judgment, you will not find any. We are all goats by birth, sinners, children of Adam and Eve, rebels against our Creator and Shepherd King. There are no works we can do to justify us. There is nothing we can do that will turn us into sheep, were it not for Jesus, our Shepherd and God's Lamb. We would all hear the same divine dismissal, "Depart from me." Apart from Jesus, there is only eternal punishment, eternal fire, eternal regret for opportunities wasted and lost and overlooked. But there is another way to look at yourself. Not in the mirror of the law, but in the face of Jesus Christ. He is your life. In Adam, you are dead and doomed as a goat in the parable, but in Christ, you are alive to God, a people of his pasture, a sheep of his hand. You have been embraced in the death of the shepherd. Goats are sheep in God's eyes when they are seen in Christ, the shepherd and the lamb. Don't look to your works. Your works will not reflect anything back to you that will bring you comfort or assurance. The good in your good works is not even due to you. It is due to Christ. Look to Christ. He will tell you who you are. Look to all those concrete and tangible places where Christ has placed himself so that you may hear from him, his word to you. Look to your baptism. That's who you are. That's your identity in Christ. In Adam, you're 100% goat, but in Christ, you are 100% sheep, right-handed sheep. Embraced in the death of the Lamb, goats declared sheep in the eyes of the shepherd. Cleansed of their sins, united with Him who takes away their sins in His death and who gives them His perfect righteousness. Look to the word of forgiveness. Forgiveness received is the difference between a goat and a sheep. Be forgiven and free in Christ. Learn what it means to live in that freedom of being forgiven, trusting Jesus and His work, not yours, His work for your salvation. Look to the supper, Christ's body and blood that He gave for you, for your salvation. The shepherd feeds His sheep with His own life and His death. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Sin, death, devil, the law. Your cup runs over with His righteousness. The abundance of Jesus' life poured out for you. He satisfies your hunger and your thirst. He clothes you with a garment of righteousness, a robe of perfection. He welcomes you, a stranger, to His Father's house as a friend, as a family member. He visits you in the prison house of your sin and your death. He is your divine physician who heals you in body and soul, who raises you up from the dead. He's the only doctor that can cure death itself. And He comes as the perfect sheep, the unblemished lamb, the atoning sacrifice for your sin. And in Him and through Him, look to the least and the lowly and the lost and the despised around you. There is Christ hidden for you to serve. He is that man who fell among the thieves, bloodied and near dead in the ditch. That's Christ for you to serve. He is that poor beggar on the street corner, the orphan child, the unwed mother, the friendless stranger, the dying woman, the imprisoned man. He is all of us. All of us in our brokenness and our lostness. As often as you have done it for the least, you've done it for me. Don't do these things to be saved. That's the way a goat does things. Do it because you are saved in Jesus. Do it because it's all done in Jesus. That's the way of the sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd and who follow Him through death to eternal life. And at the end of the age, you will get to hear that marvelous, marvelous sentence. You did it for me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.